Welcome to Is Able, the radio show about possibility, where we look at what a person with disabilities can do rather than what they cannot do. Hello, this is Dr. Nurse, and this is our episode 2 on our topic, learning disabilities, the hidden disability. And I feel like saying, as we left our heroine in our last episode, but not quite. I'm also working here with Dr. Linda Price. She and I know each other from Temple University many years ago. And she is she knows a lot about learning disabilities. I sometimes think that when we describe ourselves as experts in any field, we're probably telling people more what we don't know about the field than what we do. But Linda comes as close to an expert as I can on this. We were talking the last in our last session, and Linda ended with a story about a person who, because they had a learning disability, was abused or mistreated by their parents because they couldn't read, you know, and that's important. You can't just tell a person to read, and you know, you have to have those skills. So I think what I'd like to talk about now during this second session is, Linda, how do learning disabilities affect everyday life?
Well, there's a number of ways that they affect everyday life, and what's interesting is that they're what we call non-apparent. Some people say that learning disabilities are an invisible disability, and some say they're non-apparent, which means that you go up and you meet somebody and you shake their hand and you say, hi, how are you? I'm Linda, you're Steve. And that person doesn't right away say, oh, hi, you know, my name is Susie and I have dysgraphia, or my name is Alex and I have dyslexia. People don't do that. But what one adult told me, it's like you hit a wall. It's like you're going along and you're kind of able to cope in your everyday life, and all of a sudden you just hit this wall. And because of the way you process information, because of your neurological processing, you literally cannot do something. Just like somebody that has a visual impairment, if they have less than, maybe they have 20 over 200 vision, they cannot see letters on a page. They just can't see them. And it's not that they're not trying hard enough, or that maybe they don't speak English or whatever. They just physically can't do it. People with learning disabilities have these barriers or these walls. And, Steve, what's amazing to me is that these come out in all kinds of kind of frightening statistics. For example, if we talk about employment, which is obviously the big thing for adults, people with learning disabilities are twice as likely to be unemployed as people without learning disabilities. Twice as likely.
And again, is that probably because of some of the things we talked about, the getting along with people? And
It's partially that, but even more than that, it's the fact that they don't get accommodations in the workplace. And we're going to be talking about that, I know, on another show. But literally, only 5% of adults that have learning, or adolescents that have learning disabilities, that are working receive any kind of accommodation. So imagine, for example, if all the people in the United States that wore contact lenses suddenly could no longer wear contacts, and they were just taken away from them. Okay, bonk, your contacts are gone. You cannot wear them anymore. Or people that have hearing aids, all of a sudden your hearing aids are gone. You can no longer use the hearing aid. Imagine how that would impact your life.
And what's important about that is that, again, you are talking about what we talked about the first time, that a learning disability, though it is hidden, can affect a person just as much as not having glasses, not having hearing aids, those kinds of things. And I think if you look at the Americans with Disabilities Act or Section 504, the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, blah, 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 basically it says a person has a disability. It has to be for a person to have a disability, they have to have a substantial impairment in one or more major life activities. Absolutely. And what they list that as in the ADA is the ability to work, the ability to go to school, the ability to act, you know, to be involved in your local community. And I think that all those things have to do with learning disabilities. For instance, when you talk about learning disabilities on the job, let's say sometimes a person, and here's another example. I was working with a boy, a young boy, and I said his shoelaces were untied. And I said, I said to him, I said, could you please tie your shoe? And he said, he kind of looked at me and grinned and said, no, but I can tie my shoelaces. I mean, you know, we say things that, so one of the things that, some persons with learning disabilities may experience, it takes longer to process. You know, in other words, if I ask them a question, person with a learning disability, they may think about it for a while. So when a person with a learning disability gets into a job interview and you say, you know, more of them are unemployed, that may be a critical point where the employment team says, gosh, you know, that guy really took a long time to answer that question, whether or not he was discriminatory or not. I mean, so I think that, you know, that's a key thing. Maybe talk about some other ways that it affects persons on the job.
Well, I can talk more about the job, but I have a wonderful follow-up story about processing, if that's okay.
You do, and you have many wonderful stories, so.
Oh, you sweet. You're so good. Okay, so I was at the University of Minnesota working as the LG specialist, and I used to have a client that I swear to God, Steve, he looked like he walked right out of the Hell's Angels. I mean, this guy had the collar with the spikes and the chains and the boots, and he used to scare my secretary to death. I mean, he was the real deal. And he would come into my office, and we would work on his accommodations and helping him in college. And he came in one day, and he said, Dr. Price, he said, do you do marriage counseling? And I said, what are you talking about? I don't do that. And he said, my wife is going to leave me because she says I never listen to her. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know, she asked me to go to the grocery store and to get, like, a carton of milk and, you know, maybe to get, you know, some applesauce and some donuts. And I come home with a six-pack of beer and four pizzas. Or she'll say, would you go upstairs to get my hairbrush? And I'll come back down with her razor. And he said, she really doesn't think I love her anymore, and I'm really crazy about this broad. And I said, have you ever told her that you have an auditory memory problem? The way that you process language that you hear auditorially, your hearing is fine, but the way that you process it has a lag, and you don't always remember or completely understand what you hear. Well, no, I wouldn't tell her anything like that. I said, I'm sure you love her. I said, here's my solution for you. Go out and get the woman a dozen roses, get the biggest bottle of champagne you can lay your hands on, and a very pretty small notebook, and take it back to her and say, my darling, I love you with my whole heart. Every time you want me to do something, write it down on a piece of paper in this notebook and give it to me. And you know what, Steve? It worked like a charm.
And that's one way of an accommodation.
Absolutely.
I do think that I might fall into that coming back home with the six-pack and the four pizzas. So I think
well,
that's
then you owe Barb a dozen roses.
I think, yes, I think I that's totally okay. So processing and that, how about, just, you know, we talk about also, working in the community environment.
Right.
How does, talk about social skills, those kinds of things. I know that sometimes, you know, we used to talk about, On Seinfeld, they used to have a show about someone who was a close talker. And I think sometimes people with learning disabilities, I know kids that are kind of right in your face all the time. Talk about social skills and learning disabilities in a working situation.
Well, or specifically in work. Okay.
Or community.
Well, let me hit you with a couple other statistics that I think are really unnerving. There are not clear statistics on this, and I had a doctoral student, by the way, that tried to actually do a dissertation on this. One of the things that we know testimonially is that there is an incredibly high incidence of chemical dependency and alcoholism for people that have learning disabilities and dyslexia. And as a matter of fact, there are a number of treatment centers now for adolescents that routinely ask as part of their intake, do you have a learning disability? And one adult told me the reason why he was using is because he would get so frustrated and so angry because nobody understood him, and he never really fit in anyway, and he definitely fit in with the people that were doing drugs. Wow. So, yeah, so that's an issue. There also is, I've only been able to find one statistic, and I can give people the citation if they want it, that in the United States, there are significantly more homeless Americans that have learning disabilities than those that don't. And it makes sense when you start to think about it, because people with LD, if they can't hold on to a job, if they can't follow directions, if they can't get along with the people that they work with, if they can't read or they can't write, they're going to be marginally employed at best. And especially with what we're going through with COVID right now, as frightening as that is, I worry that many of the folks that are not going to be able to find jobs or that lost their jobs during COVID have learning disabilities.
That's interesting to say, because also, you know, when I worked in transition, we looked at kids, young persons. Everybody's a kid to me anymore. But, you know, we looked at young persons that would go on to a union job, or young persons that would, you know, go right into a vocational field. And now to do those things, like one of my friends was an administrator at Renton Technical College. And we were looking at one of the programs that had to do with working on refrigeration systems. And my gosh, to do that job, the amount of reading that you have to do in technical manuals, you know, we're thinking this is just like some guy that goes out and knows everything about this model of a refrigeration system. But my gosh, you have to go and look up the manual for that specific refrigeration system. You have to calculate airflow. You have to have strong skills in mathematics. So I think a lot of these jobs that used to be less technical that persons could do now are very technical and require as much reading and as much ability to process that as, you know, getting a degree in medicine. I mean, does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely it does. And the other thing that I want to be sure and share because it's easy when we talk about learning disabilities and dyslexia to talk about all the downsides. Is people with learning disabilities could be some of the best employees in the world because, number one, they're extremely creative. These are not the kind of people that will come to a job and you have to tell them what to do every step of the way, because they have learned throughout their life that they have to adapt. They have to think of new ways to do something. They have to think of new ways to compensate for themselves. And so they're extremely creative. And as one adult told me, we're big picture people. That's what we do. We're big picture people. I worked with a young man that had received, he was getting into the PhD honors program at the University of Minnesota in physics. And he had received his other degrees from Cambridge. And when he came over, everybody was so excited, this is such a big deal, and he was flunking all of his tests. And they couldn't figure out why they brought this guy, this brilliant guy in, and he couldn't pass the exams. Well, come to find out, at Cambridge, what they did is they have what they call tutorials, which were very small groups where they would meet individually with professors and TAs. And he built 3D models, Steve.
Wow.
Of his questions, he would literally build a model. So he comes to the United States and they give him pencil and paper tests and he's flunking. Yeah. And that's because that's a strength. I mean, people with LD, you hear the stories and they just, it's amazing. They will take 3 or 4 times longer to read, to study, to work on the job. They'll take work home. They'll stay late. They'll do all of that because they're that motivated to keep that job.
And it's interesting,
they
too.
They can be great employers.
You know, this one statistic that we pulled up here, and that says that, you know, 81% of adults with LD have not self-disclosed to their employers about their learning disabilities of dyslexia.
Exactly.
And it's interesting, too, because under the Americans with Disabilities Act, you can ask about job function. You know, can you read? Can you type? Can you do certain computer programs? But you can't ask about a specific disability or the effects of that disability. So I think that that's important. A lot of people don't self-disclose just for that reason. So
I can tell you. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead. I'm ready.
You know me. I'm so bad. I apologize, Steve. One of the things that I found really shocking is my buddy Paul Gerber and I did a study about 15 years ago where we asked 127 adults from around the United States about, did they know about the Americans with Disabilities Act, which is the number one protection that people with disabilities of all kinds have in the workplace. 97% of the adults that we interviewed had never heard of the ADA, and of those 120-some people that we interviewed, 95% said that they would never tell an employer that they had a learning disability. If they did, they would never self-disclose. Many of them said because they were afraid of being fired.
And again, part of that is because of the misconceptions of a learning disability. It can be a common, it can be, and we'll talk about that in a later program, but we really, you know, we talk about accommodations that need to be provided on the job. So we talked a little bit about persons with learning disabilities in school. But I do want to stress a little bit more about community. How do they do? What are some of the problems socially in relationships, socially in the community, volunteering, those kinds of things? Are there relationships there to learning disabilities?
Well, one of the amazing things to me was when I was still in Minnesota, if you were going to get certified to teach learning disabilities, you also had to be dual certified in teaching it with behavioral disorders, because so many of us believe that there is such a strong social skills component to LD. And just like the individual, the student that I told you about earlier that had been abused by his father because he couldn't read, adults with LD have told me over and over and over again that they are frustrated. They have a lot of anger. They have a lot of resentment. We already talked about the chemical dependency. They are basically misunderstood people in an understanding world. I mean, if you go to someone and say, you know, well, like my husband recently had an eye surgery, and you go say to someone, okay, he had to have surgery to have the retina reconnected to his eye, people will accept that socially. But if you go to somebody and say, well, you know, I've just been fired from my fifth job because of my learning disability, nobody understands what you're talking about. And it's that misconception that I think it's kind of like salt into the wounds of a lot of the social problems that people with LD have. Again, I don't have the figures in front of me right now, but the testimonials say one of the largest incarcerated populations in the United States are people with learning disabilities. People with LD don't fit in unless, you know, if they're committing a crime or unless they're doing drugs. Those are places where they feel like they finally fit in. And the recidivism, I can't say that word, but people going back to prison again that have LD, it makes perfect sense because they never learn how to read and write. They don't get the accommodations that they need. People with learning disabilities if you ask them, the number one problem that they have told me over the years is isolation and loneliness. They don't know how to connect with other people. One kind of characteristic for some folks with LD is that they don't get jokes. They may have a different sense of humor. And so if they go to work and they're hanging around the water cooler and somebody's telling a joke and everybody laughs, they're not going to raise their hand and go, well, can you explain that to me? Because I, like, don't know what that means. You know, people with LD that have organizational problems, they can't follow directions. Everybody else is going to go out to a local restaurant for dinner. And the person with LD is not going to go, hey, I'm going to need to have you really write the directions down for me because I won't remember them if I hear them. They have jumps with conversation. Yeah.
Yes, I'm kind of concerned that I'm falling into that category because I sometimes don't get all of Rick's jokes, but I do get most of them. So they are very good. Do learning disabilities also affect a person as to depression?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And see, again, what makes this really hard is we don't have clear statistics on this because, number one, nobody knows to ask about learning disabilities because the person looks quote-unquote normal. And number two is because LD is often, like you were saying earlier, it's intertwined with all of these other things. For example, and this is a statistic that just scares me to death, it is a very clear trend now that if we're talking about school, nearly three times the number of kids with learning disabilities will drop out of high school from kids that don't have learning disabilities. They're three times as likely to drop out. Now, if you're a dropout and maybe you're a single mom or maybe you're you're somebody that is trying to figure out what kind of a job they want or you're still stuck at home with your family, of course you're going to be depressed.
You know,
of course you're going to be angry.
You know, it's interesting because when I'm thinking about it, when we worked on the project, the Sisters in Science, in Temple, one of the objectives was, and one of the issues that we dealt with was that with young African-American women and young minority women in Philadelphia at that time,
right.
Many of them hardly made it out of junior high school because they were pregnant and got and had kids by the time that they were older. And I'm wondering if that also, some of those kinds of, if a person has a learning disability, and has a hard time with school, has a hard time with a job, if, you know, there may be some, you know, nexus there too, because I do remember talking to one of those young women, and she was saying, you know, her sister was 16 and was pregnant, and, you know, she got aid to families with dependent children, and she got an apartment, and it was actually a kind of a way out. And,
sure.
You know, it was an option. You mentioned, too, you know, in some of these stats that only 12% of those persons that have learning disabilities disclose that to the employer. So that's got to be a big issue too. Are you in a submarine there? Or what am I hearing?
What you're hearing is my two dogs, and I apologize for that. I just shoot them out of the study.
Oh, I'm no, sorry. That's okay. Yeah, you have whippets. You have whippets, don't you?
Yes, we have whippets, like little greyhounds. But yeah, I mean, the thing about LD is that it literally influences every aspect of your life. And I think because you, if you pardon my language, don't look handicapped, which I hate that phrase, but
right.
That's what many people would think. If you don't look like you have a problem, people take it for granted that you're quote-unquote normal. And then when all of a sudden you do something that doesn't make sense to them, it's like, well, that person is stupid, that person isn't trying hard enough, that person, you know, it's like it becomes a very negative thing. And the bottom line is that they just can't process information the way everybody else does. I mean, for example, how many times have we all gone to staff meetings that were so boring and, you know, half of us are asleep and we get up, we leave and we walk out and somebody says, well, what did we talk about? And you go, well, I don't know. What did we talk about in this staff meeting? That's kind of a typical response. We all go through that. But what if you have a learning disability and because of your auditory attention, you have ADHD, maybe you have auditory memory problems. You sit every staff meeting and you can't remember what people say.
And one thing I think too is, again, you know, we get into that issue of assumptions. We say to ourselves, a person with a learning disability can't do this or can't do that. Or,
right.
You know, I had this used to always happen to me, you know, people would say to me, we'll kind of end on this story and before we go on to our next one, but people used to say to me, they assumed that I knew everyone else in a wheelchair, you know, that all I did was hang around with wheelchair people, you know? And so I was talking to this one person, and he said, you know, my brother lives in Boise, Idaho, and he's in a wheelchair. You may know him. And it was kind of one of those bad days, and I said, yeah, and I really don't like him. You know, that kind of ended the conversation. But I think that is kind of a fun way to end this. And let's talk in our next session about what types of learning disabilities there are, because you know, we've mentioned, at least in these this session, how wide ranging a learning disability is, but there are you know, there's a whole lot of difference between dyslexia, you know, which has to do with reading, dyscalculia, which has to do with math, and dysgraphia, which has to do with written expression and looking at other things. So on that exciting preview of coming attractions, we will close this session out. Thanks, everybody.
To stream this or any other episode of Is Abled with Dr. Stephen W. Nurse, go to voiceofashon.org and look under the Shows tab.
Are we out? Can you hear me, Linda?